Hey, it's Chris, and welcome back to the Between Dreams podcast. If you're new here, thanks for joining. We are on a mission to cultivate and build a community of creators. People who are not just dreaming big dreams, but doing something about it. See, it's so easy to think about things and dream about things and imagine all these things. But what really matters is what you do between dreams. That's life. This week, we have an incredible guest who's going to blow your mind. She has this ability to see what's possible and just go for it without any thought or concern that it won't work. She just assumes that things will work and then does the action required to make them work. It's absolutely incredible, and I've been super inspired by her. If you enjoy this conversation, as with all the conversations, we continue and go deeper on Patreon. So the first part of the conversation is always free. Wherever you listen to podcasts, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, podcast app, wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, there's a full video so you can watch us talk. That's on YouTube. You can search my name, Chris Ruggiero. It's on my page. You can watch these interviews. And then at the end of the interview, we bounce over to patreon.com/betweendreams and we go even deeper. So when you join the Patreon community, that helps support the show so that we can continue bringing free content in addition to more bonus Patreon content. So thank you very much for being here. Share this with a friend who you think will enjoy it. All the way from Sweden, here in the Between Dreams studio in Studio City, Los Angeles, California. Caroline Raven.
Oh, finally! I'm excited.
You've been waiting for this.
Yes, for like 15
at
minutes.
At least a half hour, I was going to say.
Yeah.
You have something that was just in your hands. They're your own playing cards, and that's because you created them and you are a magician.
Yes. How crazy is that?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Imagine that, living your dream.
Often you hear magicians and stuff talk about how, like, oh, the impossible is possible, and it's in, but then they do like a card trick.
Yeah.
You kind of have this broader sense of possibility for like your life.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that's been super interesting to watch, the things that you've been working on, and just you have this idea that you can do anything.
Yeah.
And it's just like everything is possible. And whatever, there's no like this, no, like a lot of people say, oh yeah, I can do anything. But then they instantly like, but
yeah.
I have this limitation, but I have this limitation. And I've never seen or heard you have that mindset of like the but.
Exactly.
This is hard.
I can do anything. So would you please pick a card? Too soon? No, but the thing is that my grandfather was a magician, and it felt like every time he did a trick for me, it was real magic. And that's the feeling I want to give other people. And if I could do magic for real, I have to tell you guys this, magic is not real. I'm sorry. And Santa Claus Santa Claus does not exist. I'm sorry. But so if I could do magic, what would it look like? And the reason I'm not one of those people who would be like, yeah, pick a card and then pick another card and then pick another card, is because I don't believe that's magical. So in my shows, when I'm performing for real people, because they're out there, if you're performing, they are real people out there. So when I'm performing for them, I want them to get the feeling of wonder, and they won't get that if you're playing it like they're dumb, because they're not dumb. Like, you pick a card and yeah, you kind of fumble it around and then it's not that one. You know, well, you do know they're controlling the card. So why don't you create a room where anything is possible? I believe that we can and we should use the superpowers that we have as magicians and jugglers and stuff like that. Like, people come to see us because they want to be baffled, and they won't be by a card trick. I'm sorry. Right. Maybe when Shin Lim is doing it, you know.
Yeah.
But that's
crazy.
Yeah,
there is magical moments that can come out of that, but it's never going to be. And this will segue into your TEDx talk that you did. That doesn't feel. It's not a magic show.
No.
Some people do like a speech or a talk, and it's just it's an excuse for them to do more tricks.
Yeah.
And yours felt like the tricks supplemented, or the illusion, the pieces of magic supplemented a story. At the end of that, there was a feeling of, oh, there was a story here that tied this all together, and it didn't feel like the other way around. It's a lot easier to go buy a trick, read the directions, and do that thing. Some people will be like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's the best trick I've ever seen. Why do you choose to do a harder thing in the storytelling and creating those real magical moments when you could just take the easy way out?
Because I want to be able to look myself in the mirror the next day.
Yeah,
it's we're artists, and let's treat magic as an art form, because right now we're not really doing that. Now you go onto YouTube, you see a trick, or you buy a prop at a magic convention, and then you record it and you put it out there, and then you lower down the lights so they won't see the black art, you know.
Yeah.
And that's not magic. And yeah. I'm seeing a lot of that right now, and I'm seeing, oh my God, you guys, if you are doing this that I'm telling you right now, please stop magic. Like when they have this camera super close up to their crouch and they're doing a card trick, and then it's like just that frame, please stop. Oh my God, it's so bad. And then they use the hashtag magic Instagram or Instagram magician, and it kills me inside, man. It
yeah.
really does. It's... Why don't we just treat it like an art form? Why don't we lift up our gaze in a way to look people in the eye and share something with them? Because we do have a superpower, and this
yeah.
superpower can actually change their lives. I saw a street performer when I was in Vegas the other day. I didn't really like the show much at all, but there was this kid standing like 2 feet away from me. He was super close, and he was looking at this trick. And he had vanished a $20 bill, and it almost came out, but it wasn't that one. And then it ended up in a lemon. You guys have seen this. And as the magician takes out the lemon, you can see how the kid goes, no way. Like
yeah.
his entire world changed. It didn't matter to him that he hadn't seen the bill yet. But as he cuts it open, mm-hmm. you can see his jaw drops. And I'm like, yeah, this is why I do magic. This is real for him.
Yeah.
And that's the moment that we can create. And we won't do that when we're doing crouch magic, you know, like pick a card, any card, and I'm going to put it in here, you know. That's not real. That's not artistry. And that's just crap. I'm sorry. Can I use
yeah.
that word in your podcast?
You can use whatever word you want.
I have so many worse ones. So,
so that's a... What is that feeling of... And you talked about when I watched your TEDx talk, you talk about that feeling of when you were a kid mm-hmm. and you had that feeling of, wow, like real magic
yeah.
can be, and it's not a card trick. It can be presented through, you know, tricks.
Yeah.
But it's more about that feeling. And then you talk about how you're in a position to create that feeling for other people.
Yeah.
What is that? What is that specific feeling that after your show or when you perform, what do you want people to walk away saying to, or what do you want them to feel when they walk away from your show?
Oh, I want them to feel like... I want them to feel like that was insane. Like not just the magic piece, but the storytelling, the music, the
yeah.
lighting, how I dress, how I walk. I want the entire experience to be something that they cannot have anywhere else. And that's why I work in a team, because I know that I, as a solo performer, can never do that. I can never be the next David Copperfield if it's just me
yeah.
asking people to pick a card, you know? And so I want people to use all of their senses when they walk into that theater. And when they walk out, I want them to go like, oh my God, that was unreal. Do you remember that? Did you see that? And talk about the show more than the tricks that they saw. You know what
yeah.
I mean? There's a difference there. And it's something that we don't really take the time to think of. And that's why my director is not a magician. It's not a theater director. He's an actual clown. That's what he does for a living. And it's a comedy show. So his job is to make sure that I move and take the stage as I would have if I was like an actual power magician, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel that some people miss this part. They just hire like a director, like anyone, and they take the theater, they book it, and they go on, they do a thing, and they miss so many steps of it because there is so much more to giving them that feeling. Because if we were to like ask people after the show, what did they feel? I want them to be not sure, you know, like they can't like put one word to what it was because it was so much. And I saw David Coverfield for the first time a week ago.
Yeah.
Like, that changed my life. I sent a message to my team, go, you know what, guys? We have to get back to the drawing pad because this is not good enough. And I've only been doing magic for 4.5 years, so I should not be having those kind of, you know.
Yeah, well, when you were telling me about the show, the Coverfield show, and it was interesting to hear what was explained, you know, you talked about these, like, moments, and yeah. The thing, to go back to what we started with, it was never about, like, oh, I don't know how
exactly
that thing happened. You were saying, like, oh, there was a UFO, and you could feel the air blowing, and the room was moving, you know, it's like all those things, and that's where and I didn't see the show, but it's so cool to feel that thing happen, where it's like, oh, it wasn't this trick, and... I was telling somebody else it's like when I watch shows all the time, you know, variety shows and all that. And my favorite moments are it's not a trick or a musician or something. Like, I've been in the back of rooms and you just, like, feel that, like, we almost start crying because you're like, this couldn't have been crafted this way. It was just like this moment happened.
Yeah.
And if we have that power to do that, no one want to. To go back to the concept where I think you feel like you have this mindset that everything is possible, but you can do it yourself. So there's a balance of that. Like, yeah, I can do whatever I dream of and want to create, but you've seen that there are other people who are experts at other things. So talk a little bit about that. Where does that come into play as you started? As most people do, like, you have your idea of this thing and then you realize, oh, this would be great if this expert can come in and craft this part of my story.
Yeah,
where
absolutely.
Where did that whole thing of building the team, I guess?
Building the team, yeah. It's still in the making.
Yeah.
We just have the foundation for now. But I have a team of around 10 people that I work with, which is a lot, and they don't work full time. So it's not like I am David Copperfield or anything, you know? It all started with my mentor, Tom Stone. So I met him at a bar in Stockholm called the Magic Bar. Unfortunately, it doesn't exist anymore, but it was a great bar where they had a magician come in from all over the world to perform. It was a really small bar and they had food and it was great. And I was there in December 2013. So it wasn't that long ago. And I'm there, I have a deck of cards. You know, I always like carrying cards around. And I hadn't been doing magic for 15 years. So I walk in there to watch a friend perform, and afterwards I end up in a small room, like, behind the stage, and Tom Stone is there. And I have no idea who this man is. He's just this weird guy, you know, hanging around watching people do magic tricks. And if you guys have met Tom Stone, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He's a little weird, but I love him very much. So he sees me with a deck of cards just playing, you know, and he says, call me one day. And I go home, I fly down to the south of Sweden where I'm from, and I reach out to this weirdo magician, and he offers to come down to where I live to teach me magic. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's fine, yeah, come here, you know. And then me inviting this 50-year-old man to my place, and my dad goes, you did what now? But it was great. So he came down, he brought some tricks.
No, he's a magician, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine, daddy, it's fine. I'll be okay-ish. Yes, and that changed my life, you know. He taught me everything from, you know, misdirection and storytelling, and he taught me about all of the weirdos that I should be looking out for, you know. And then he went home, and 2 months after that, I go up to my boss, and I go, you know what, I can't be here after the summer, so I quit. So I'd been doing magic for 2 months, and I just quit my job to become a full-time magic professional.
But you didn't have, like, gigs lined up.
Nope.
Or, like, a show to
but
do
I had ambition.
At the gig.
I had ambition and a passion, no?
But what was the plan? What's that moment?
There was no plan.
Why? So there's a decision, though. That's like, it has to be a little, even if you, right now, you're like, no, I just did it.
No,
like, there has to be like a pretty solid, like, oh, well, maybe.
There was a solid passion, you know? The thing is that I wanted to be a magician when I was a kid. And I studied theology at the time, and I worked in a church, and I had studied for 5 years. So I was almost I was almost a minister. And I never really liked it, you know? I always felt that there was something missing in my life. So I just, no, no, I'm just going to try, you know, because I was young and I thought that maybe if it doesn't work out, that's fine. I still have my education to go back to. I can still go back to the church. I still have like a good resume. I can still get work, you know. But so my first gigs I got from the church, like people who were in the church, like having a party and whatnot. And they invited me and I charged so little money, but it felt like so much.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, they're never going to pay me this much, you know. But they did. Mm-hmm. So I started doing that and I reached out to the magazine, like after, like the newspaper, like the local newspaper. I reached out to them the day I quit my job. Like I was like, yeah, this is happening right now. So they came to my place and they did a full story, you know, 2 pages, and they did a video and it sucked so bad, you know. So if you guys find that video, please don't send it to me. Make me feel ashamed. It was so, so bad. And then this other magazine reached out, and then that led to a national TV thing. So I had been doing magic for like 4 months and I'm on national TV. Oh my God, it was crazy. So I get to do that and I'm in this group on Facebook, like a Swedish magicians kind of group on Facebook. And everyone is like, oh my God, how did Caroline get that gig, you know, on TV? It's not like, she's not the right person and she's only been doing it for so and so long. And they were like talking shit about me. And that moment, I realized that if I want to be someone in the industry, if I want to be like a role model, or if I want to be lasting in this industry, I need to really work hard. So I talked to my city where I'm from and I asked them if they could provide me with a rehearsal studio, like a room where I could rehearse. And they got me a huge room, a big black box with mirrors, and there were lights that I could put on if I wanted to. And it was crazy, you know?
Wait, you...
I just
you're skipping over these things of, so I just went and asked someone for this thing that I need and they said okay, yeah, sure.
Yes, because people, the thing in my life,
so there's people who right now are like, wait, what? I just want
picked
that
up the phone.
I did not.
I actually went there because I'm a good person and I show up.
So that fits into what I'm getting at is, yeah, that is like, you know, we were talking about this, the Just Go thing.
Yeah.
Is you could have said there's a much more valid thing where you say, well, I can't do this because I don't have a rehearsal space or I don't have this space.
Well,
that was an option.
It was an option, but never for me, I guess. But I have 2 things that I live by. And the first thing is that I'm not afraid of death. I'm afraid I haven't been alive enough. And that motivates me every day to do bold things, like go out there and really, like, you guys should see me. I have this big bruise on my knee. And I have this thing here. And I broke my toe. And that was in Vegas.
All this week.
Yeah, it was in one slide. It was not good, not pretty at all. But I'm still standing. And that's the one thing. And the other thing is that I would rather ask for an apology than permission. So I'd rather go out and ask, and if they get offended, why would they be? I would just say, I'm sorry, you know, and play the cute girl card, I guess. So that's what I did. I asked them for a space to rehearse and they were like, oh yeah, we have this cultural house and there's a space and we're not using it these and these days. Absolutely. Go here and rehearse. I did do a couple of gigs for them afterwards. Like when they asked me, I was not like going to charge them anything because they changed everything for me. So that's how it started. I was like, I had my mentor, Tom Stone, and I had these people, the other magicians in Sweden, be like, oh my God, she's not worth this TV gig. That really motivated me to get better. And then I just kept asking people to help me out. And for my first gig, I asked other magicians, like, what would you do? And I asked Tom Stone, of course, and they were like, yeah, trial and error. That's how you do it. And so I just started trying and asking people for more and more help. And after my first year in magic, I was in the national championships of magic. And I got my silver. That was like, I got a silver after a year, which is crazy. And the same weekend, I got an award for most inspiring person of the year in the city where I'm born. Which is a crazy good award, you know?
Yeah.
And so I have that and I'm like, oh my God, things are starting to happening in my life right now. And how do I take that and cherish it? Because most people would probably be over their heads, you know, like be like, oh my God, shit, this is so great. And go out drinking and whatnot, you know, like being a different person. But for me, it grounded me more, I think, because I've always had this dream of taking over the world with, like when I was a kid, I wanted to be the best magician who's ever walked this planet, you know, and being a young adult and get that childlike wonder thing going again was crazy good, you know. So whenever things like this happen, and this I regret, actually, if you're going to take anything away from this, is listen to this part. Something that I really regretted was that I never celebrated, like when things went like when things were good and great, like I had this gig or this award that I got, I didn't celebrate. I was like, that's good. Let's go to the next thing, all the time, next thing. I never settled. And I think now that things are going great, I think that it's harder for me now to celebrate because I never did it. Now I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's been 4.5 years and... I don't know.
Is that a decision not to like have that moment to celebrate, or is it just
I think it comes from when I was a kid. I was really bullied as a child, and people always told me that I didn't deserve anything, and that comes back to the magicians telling me I didn't deserve that TV spot. So when things have been going great, it feels like I have this voice inside me still saying that, oh, I don't deserve this. This is not good enough, you know, and I have to like prove things. And like a year ago, I decided to take all of that negativity and push it into something that is more like, I'm not trying to show them that I can do it. I'm showing it to myself, because that's when it gets easier. Like I'm doing these things for myself. And then I booked the most expensive theater in Stockholm, you know, like I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this for myself. I'm going to fill this theater by myself, for myself, rather. But let's go back to the team building. So I had that. I did these things. Like
that's a good the booking the theater though thing is that because that's you forced a you okay now I have this now I yeah. have to do this.
Yes, exactly.
It's like there's no excuse of I don't have a theater. Or, I don't. You just exactly. eliminated the. So it's another one that mm-hmm. maybe we'll come back to that. But
yes, we're coming back to that. Yeah,
forcing yourself to.
Yeah, exactly. So. So we go back a bit. So I have that, and I start doing the national TV things, and there's magazines, and there's everything calling, you know. And after about a year after the award I got a question from domestic airlines if I wanted to do a gig for them. And I was like, yeah, sure. And they couldn't pay me super much. So I was like, yeah, you know what? You give me that, and you give me 10 domestic flights.
Yeah.
Win-win, right?
Yeah.
Because they're never full. Who are they kidding? They're never full. So, and they say yes. And I become friends with the head of marketing because he's there. He's taking photos. And I'm always being nice to people when I'm on stage and on the set. Because well, you never know who these people are or what they can do for you or what you can give them in life, you know? So we started emailing afterwards. And I was like, oh, I just met with my nephew. He's 2.5 and he loves airplanes. He's never been on one. Oh, my God, wouldn't it be great if we can do something together, like we do a vlog or whatnot? And he replies with, absolutely, we're going to do this. Oh, and by the way, would you like to be interviewed for our domestic airline magazine? And I get this magazine interview. They fly down 2 people to the south of Sweden. And I lived in the outside of everything. It was a tiny, tiny place. So they fly these people in, they come with me to a gig, which was crazy, and that the people who organized the gig, they were like, yeah, absolutely, this is going to be great, so much fun, you know? And I get the magazine, and it's not one page, it's like 7 pages. It's a big, big interview. And I'm like, yeah, this is great, you know? And so that thing led to me being on Sweden's biggest newspaper, and it was a double pager, like... You know, 2 pages of me, a big photo in the middle, like you open it up and there's text everywhere and there's me and it's blue and it's super cool. And that led to a 16-minute long live TV interview. Who gets 16 minutes of live TV interview? That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then all of these things are happening and I realize I'm still by myself. How can I do this better? Mm. So the only one that I had helping me at the point was my best friend, Julia. So she was helping me. This is so funny. She was like... After I'd been out on gigs and, you know, having cards signed and stuff, she would, like, create new decks out of old decks, like, fixing everything for me and taking care of my receipts and everything, which was great. I could not have done this without her. And so all of these things are happening. So I'm like, yeah, I need to get myself an agent. So this is also so crazy. I moved to Stockholm a year ago. So everything, these 10 people, that's from a year, you know. So this is where we're getting at right now. So I moved to Stockholm in August of last year. And in the beginning of September, I go to a networking event. We're going to come back to this networking event later because this is how I do everything. I go there. I was asked to do a magic trick and I didn't bring anything because I thought, well, it's a networking. It's, you know, it's I'm just going to be myself, going to be super cool and all that. And I do the magic square. You should never not do magic square if someone asks you. It's the best trick to ever do anywhere. I do that. And there's this girl there. Tiny, super cute, blonde girl. And she comes up to me and she is so cool. Like her voice and everything, how she moves. And she's so awesome. And she's like, hey, I run an agency. I want to work with you. And I was like, you're awesome. So we have coffee twice because I'm not sure she's the right person for me. She's never worked with a magician before. And then we were like, yeah, let's start see what happens here. And she has been working with me since. She's amazing. She books everything. She takes care of everything. Like, she makes sure that I am at the right place at the right time. She takes care of my phone calls and my emails and yeah, she makes me look great. And she raised my fee like 4 times, right? That's so cool.
Right.
Yeah, she's amazing. And, during that summer, like August and September, at that point, I'm at this dinner party with people I don't know, like influencers of Sweden, you know. And there's this girl, and we're talking, and she's like, yeah, I do music. And I'm like, oh, that's great. I'm a magician. And we keep talking. And I'm like, yeah, I want to book a theater. I want to do a show. She just happens to be a producer. And so she decided she wanted to produce my show. And I go for a meeting with her. And I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking this and this. This is going to be the name. This is what we're going to do. And I had a different name by the time. And I got into so much trouble about that name. But I can't tell the story about that, unfortunately. But, you know, it happened. And then you have to be the bigger person and just change what you're doing. Yeah. No, so she was like, yeah, let's do this show together. And I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, fine. I just have to find the finances for it because it's so, so expensive to mm-hmm. do your own show. So we're talking to the agent and I was like, yeah, we're going to need this and this, like a producer. We're going to need the director and we're going to have sound and we're going to have lights and we're going to have someone photograph everything and videograph it. We're going to have a trailer. You know, there's so many things going into having your own show. And we just made it happen, you know, like one piece at a time just kind of fell into place in a way. And I just started asking friends if they wanted to help out. And I have this friend, Ulle, who is an amazing videographer. Like, he does so many great videos. And so if you're looking through my Instagram, you're going to see his tag everywhere because he does so many things for me. So I asked him if he wanted to be part of it. And he was like, yeah, absolutely. So we did loads of videos. And we have Jesper, who also helps out with my content. And these guys are friends. And yeah. When I have the money to pay them, I do that. So I just asked friends if they wanted to help out. And so I got this commercial gig where we were supposed to record 7 commercials for a big company. And that's when I get a shitload of money. And that's when it's easier to pay them, you know? So that's what I do. Like, I ask friends to help out. And when I get the funding to things, I will pay them, like, fairly.
Yeah.
Which is great because I always include them in my quotes. So right now I have a videographer, I have a content creator, I have a director, a magic creator, which is Tom Stone, which is crazy. I have my agent and I have a stylist, because who doesn't have a stylist, right? you know, I have all of these people and we have the producer, you know, all of them. And I just recently got myself a brand manager. That is so cool, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it's so great. But it's like to have that outside, even for something like that, where it's just because it's so hard for me sometimes to see like, oh, I'm missing this piece. I do all this work and then I sabotage it by, you know, not posting the right image or something.
Yeah. And I think that we should be more helpful to each other. Like, the advice I got, I just gave you guys about the crotch magic. Don't do it. Like, and there's so much good content out there. Take a look at Chris Ramsey, what he's doing. Like, go check his YouTube out. It's perfect. It's great. He has the lighting. He has the sound, right? And he has great content. He always asks for permission, which is great. Like, some people just take a trick and they expose it online and that's not cool, you know? Like, if you're gonna do this, and if you want to last in the industry, be a good person. Like, ask for permission, ask for help, and just do it, you know? Just go, right? Right? Am just I right? Make it,
so that ties into, now, again, notes. So go back to your cards that you, how did that, that's like a thing that I hear people say that all the time, like, oh, it'd be cool to have, whether it's cards or your own t-shirts or whatever it is, but then, but there's that thing of, but I need to order, you know, 5,000 of them at a time, and that's going to cost this many dollars, but I don't have the right person to design it, but I don't know where to go with these things. There's an endless supply of those excuses, and those are real. Like, those are are real challenges.
Yeah.
So to go into something like that, in tying into where you have this thing of that you really go into everything feeling like, oh, this is what I want. So what, instead of, but I don't know how to do it, it's like, this is what I want. So how, what are the steps that I need to take to make it happen? How did that, how does that come together to make like your own cards, which are awesome?
Thank you. I think I just resent the word but. Not like the actual but, you know. But it's like that word, like when you're talking about your dreams, cut out it. You need to cut it out. When you say...
Simple as that. Just decide that I don't say that word or that thought.
It's a... you change your chain of thought in a way. Like you have to start thinking about yourself in a certain way to be able to do it, though. Like, as soon as you have this feeling of, oh, but I can't do it, someone else has already done it, or but this and this, that's when you limit yourself. And I don't think that we should, because if we say that we're magicians, we do the impossible, live the impossible, just do it, just go, right?
I mean, that's a funny thing with magic too, of like, oh, we're able to do anything, but I don't have the, but then you're like adding that. Taylor Hughes, who was on this podcast before, had a thing, a series of, he asked people, he did a whole thing of, he went up to people in the street, if you could do real magic, what would you do? And his whole thing was like, not a single person said card tricks.
Right?
You know, people were like, oh, like, create these real, you know, something valuable. And it's, and what's crazy about that is we all do have that. As you said earlier, like, you have this super, we have this superhero quality within us, at least, that is able to do anything.
Right.
Sometimes it's as you've, I love all those stories of where you're just like, well, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
But I don't have this space, or I don't have this, but that person over there like does. So, hey, can we help each other out? And, and it's not about like taking stuff from everyone, of course. And it's like,
And so about the cards, my main channel is Instagram, and it's always been, and I like my Instagram. I think it's fun to do. I like interacting with my fans and friends and family in that sort of way.
Yeah.
And well, was it 3 or 4 years ago? No, three probably. Yeah, 3 years ago, I stumbled across this Instagram called Stockholm 17, and he created great cards. It kept coming up everywhere, you know, like after I followed him, because I was using, you know, the hashtags, I was like checking cardistry and card tricks and stuff like that, as you can do, which is great. And I found the guy who creates playing cards, like he designs them, and they are beautiful. And so I just started following him, liking all of his stuff and like commenting, this is crazy good. And then I just sent him a message one day, and I was like, I would love to work with you one day. Like, I would be honored to work with you. Like, this would be crazy cool. Because ever since I was a kid, I've loved cards. After my grandfather died and I stopped doing magic, everywhere I went, I had a deck of cards with me. Like, everywhere I went. Not for magic, but for playing. And for, you've seen me for a while now. I'm just sitting playing all the time. And it's an addiction for me, cards. It's always been. And so I asked him, like, can we do something? And he's like, yeah, call me up. And so I call this person up. Like, I have no idea who he is. Yeah. And he speaks English, but he has an Italian accent. And I'm like, oh, why is your name Stockholm 17? And he gives me this long story of how I came to be, you know. And I instantly liked him. He was really funny. So I flew to Stockholm to see him. And he said that he would bring out, like, a few sketches. And I thought that maybe he would, like... do a little something like a doodle, you know? And he brings sketches and printed out cards of what he would like to do with me. And I was like, what? And they are beautiful. Like the birds in the cage, and he's using this Nordic mythology kind of thing, like Hugin and Munin, you know, the birds from the Nordic mythology story. And I didn't know at the time that up here in the corners, there's, you see that? Hmm. It's really tiny. If you guys see a close-up of this, you're going to, you're going to have to Google that. Or maybe we put in a close-up of this. There is a Gemini symbol. And he was working on another project when he was starting this, and it's called the Gemini deck. So it's really cute that he put it in here, and I'm also Gemini, so there's so much in here, and everything on the cards are so well thought of. If you have the first edition of my cards, you'll see one of the jokers is a hand, and you also get that on the box, and this is actually my own hand. I sent him a photo of my hand and he just drew it. And that's because I'm a hand model. I do a lot of hand modeling work, which is great, you know. And this is actually my favorite part of it. So if you have two of them, you will get the hand, right?
Yeah.
So we're keeping that forever and ever, I'm hoping. So that's how we started designing. And he was like, yeah, what about funding? And I was like, yeah, well, you know. And yeah, he said that he had done Kickstarter before. And I was like, whew, no, I need no answer to this. That's great. Because I did not have the money. Like, for real, I did not.
Yeah, but that never has stopped. You're just, well, they will just
there is
do
always
something
a way.
And it'll
There's
happen.
Always a way. And so we did the Kickstarter, and I think we were funded in 36 hours or so.
How many dollars?
Oh, I just know the Swedish amount, but I'm thinking maybe $30,000
of the American equivalent.
Yeah.
Ballpark. Just so,
yeah.
Like, because I know how expensive that is, and it's not like some people are like, well, I need $2,000 to do this thing. I'm like, that's important. The number's not important, but it's like a real amount of money.
Yes.
Like a serious thing.
Yeah.
And that was in a couple of days.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Did you expect that to happen? Were you just like, oh, well, yeah, I do anything I want. That has to be a little bit of a moment of like, this is awesome.
It was awesome. But the thing is that we launched the campaign.
Even for you.
Yeah. It was great. It was crazy good, you know. So we launched it at 9 o'clock at a night. And I was on a plane from 9:05, and I was on a 1-hour, 15-minute flight.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, God, I need Wi-Fi so bad. You know,
really want to refresh that page.
I've never needed internet more in my life, you know. I was sweating. And so I go off the plane, and I'm like, my phone right away, probably too early, back from flight mode, like way too early. And I try to refresh it. It takes a while after you turn on your mobile data again. It takes a while before. Yeah. It was so stressful. It was like 5 minutes. It was 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And I go in and I see that we are already halfway funded. And I'm like, that's
an hour.
Yeah. But the thing is, Lorenzo, who is Stockholm 17, he has done this before.
Yeah.
It's not his first project. He has a big following. And it also helped because I had a lot of following on my Instagram as well.
Yeah.
And I put it on my newsletter and my YouTube. I put it on my Facebook and LinkedIn. And I had friends share it, you know. So it really helped. And we got the two decks printed, and we got great reviews. There's this page called United Cardists that every year they vote for the best deck of the year and in different categories. And we got 5 awards, which is amazing. And then we did the purple one, which so funny. They all have names. The decks have names. The red one is the Crimson Red. And then we have Patrol Green. And then we did the purple one. And we were like, yeah, Purple Rain? No. So it's called Purple Haze. But apparently that's a type of weed.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Oh.
So people have been laughing at me so hard. I'm not blonde. I'm ginger. So, I mean, I should have something. I should have something between my ears. But, you know, not always. So that's fine. Maybe it just makes me more innocent. I'm not sure. But yeah, it's cute, you know. So that's what it is. So we did this, we changed companies actually. So the first ones are USPCC and they did a great job. But then we found this other paper from Kartamundi. So they printed these and they did an amazing job, like for reals. So this deck won both Best Deck for Magic and Best Deck for Poker Play. So that's what we have to work with now. Like when you get a product out there or a show or a character that people are loving, please take care of it. Like for real, take that seriously, because as soon as you step down from that, as soon as you get comfortable, that's when you start doing the wrong and making the wrong decisions. And we were talking about this too, like off camera and everything. It's so easy to be like, oh yeah, this event or this photo shoot or whatnot is not that important. It's not going to be seen. So it's always better to step up your game and take it seriously. Like if I were to just reprint my deck, people will be disappointed, even though they like it, you know, but they're expecting something bigger and better and bolder. And that's where we're at right now. We're producing the new ones. And the new ones, they're going to be on Kickstarter in just a couple of days after this is aired. So we have the yellow and the blue ones. And we were like, we can't just reprint the color. So we did everything from scratch. Like the back design is still the same, but the box, the new box is insane. I don't have it here because it's only a Photoshop image. It's really hard to bring that out, you know? But it's so fun to see how the people you work with, as soon as you let them be artistic, they are going to be artistic. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I really trust my entire team to do what they think is best, and they are the best people for me because they know me. And so Lorenzo, I've had a really rough summer. Like my private life has been upside down, you know. I did the show and I did my TEDx and then I was just beat, you know. So this summer I've been like, yeah, you know what, I can't do it. I took a 3-month holiday because I needed it, you know. And so Lorenzo, he's been taking care of everything and he has been doing an amazing job. So what he does is just that he draws everything for me, sends me a picture, and I go, he wants me to say yay or nay, and I say, oh my fucking God, you know. he's amazing. But as soon as you start to like micromanaging things, especially if you're working in a team, it's not going to work. I think that the only way to be a team is to let everyone participate with what they got, you know. Like you and me, we're gonna go out and do this photo shoot, and it would be so weird if I go like, oh no, hold the camera like this, because you're the cameraman, you know what you're doing, right?
Yeah. Well, your exposure should be set at the, like, to get like super like, well, you just like, relax, like you do what you do and then I'll do what I do. And and that's something that I've been really seeing the value of myself too, of like collaborating with other people and trusting other people's idea, because like I'm like, oh no, my idea is the best, and I'm like, well, why am I asking other people for help? Because my idea is not the best, because it's not working.
Yeah, right.
It's like we are so attached so often of like, well, no, it's my art, it's my personality, it's all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, it can be that, but there can also be, you know, other people are better at some things and can see it. If not even better, not better, but like they can see it from a broader above and see, oh, you're missing this piece of the puzzle.
Right.
So that I think is probably the biggest take home of like, you don't feel like you're giving up part of yourself by asking other people for help or asking for other people's input. It's like, it's like each person is making the whole thing better.
Right.
You're helping other people by, you know, giving people this thing that you're doing. Yeah. They're helping you. And it's great.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that one way to do, if you want to do your business the way that I do, I think you have to figure out what's the dream and what's the dream team.
Yeah.
It's not just about the dream. It's about who would you want to bring out on that journey. So my dream right now is I want to host Eurovision Song Contest. And for you who don't know what that is, it's Europe's biggest TV show. So every year there is a big competition where it's a singing competition. It's a big show where the hosts are super famous people. They change dresses and they talk in between and there's a vote. And it's great. It's a great show. It's beautifully produced. The music, so-and-so, you know. Don't tell anyone I said that.
Lost your chance.
Right? And she's out.
They're probably not watching
this. It's so funny, though. That 16-minute interview I did on TV, that's for the same channel that produces that show.
Oh, cool.
And they had heard that. So they were like, yeah, we heard there's this gig at this channel that you want. And I was like,
yeah,
you know? I was like, yeah, I'm totally going to do that one day. And I can't do that by myself. Like, yeah. I can't put myself in like the right room where I would meet the right people if I didn't work with the right people. Yeah. So my agent, she only works with the best, and I'm so humble saying that, you know. And she knows the right people. And yeah. my brand manager used to manage super big fashion brands before, so he knows what he's doing as well. And my stylist, I hired a stylist because I want to win the award. We have this thing every year, best dressed woman of the year, and man of course as well, but I'm a woman, so that's the only one that I won. And I hired a stylist because that's what I want to do. So she dresses me for shows and meetings and interviews, and she's not here. So Julia, did I do an okay job? I don't know.
I get an email. You have to take that YouTube video
right?
down.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that it's nighttime in Sweden, so I could not like call her up right before and yeah. be like, hey, Julia. I could probably, but it's not cool. So I have these people help me to create this... to create the person that I know that I want to be. And that's something that I believe that we're missing. Like, we're talking about this dream. We want to have our own Netflix special, or we want to have a big show at the Strip. Like, how would you go about that? You can't just dream it, you know. You have to actually work for it, because I would not be where I'm at right now if I didn't put in the hours of work, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not just my hours, it's the hours that I'm paying others to put in as well, because I've only been doing magic for 4.5 years as an adult. It's nothing. Yeah. And I have my own touring show. Doesn't happen by itself, you know. It's there's a lot of people that are the reason for this to happen, and I'm so grateful for everyone that is willing to help me, and they're giving me a discount, and they're like putting in their soul into what I'm doing. Like my director, he asked me if I wanted to really try something different, and I was like, not really, no. Just wanted to do my tricks, you know. But the many people's favorite part of the show is a 12-minute routine where I turn into my grandfather. And I speak fake Danish, because I can't speak Danish. And so I speak fake Danish, and I put on a hat, and I turn into this old man, you know, like I'm like this and doing this and, you know, being an old man on stage. And I'm talking to this invisible 4-year-old Caroline and doing tricks with her. It's cool. A beautiful routine. Like, yeah. it's not magic at the beginning. We're just talking. We're eating rhubarbs. Is that what it's called? Is it called rhubarbs? It's super sour.
Oh yeah, rhubarb.
Rhubarb, yes. So I'm talking about that being a magic wand, and the sugar that you're dipping is the magic, like the dust of magic, and it's a beautiful routine. And there's nothing there; it's just mime. And then I produce a coin from behind her ear, and I vanish it, you know, up in the air, and it's in my nose the entire time, and we're laughing and looking at this coin. And as I'm looking at this coin, the music changes, and it becomes a memory of when my grandfather had like his prime time, you know, back in the day kind of thing. And he does a routine, well, I do it, but it's him doing it, a routine to music with coins. And it's actually in my TEDx, a version of it,
yeah.
With coins, and there's a glass, and there's a silk, and the music I'm using, it's only connected to him. And so the entire show is a tribute to that in a way, like where did we get the feeling of wonder, and how can we bring that out there? Because as we were talking about this in the beginning, like I don't want it to be like pick a card, any card. I want it to be an experience. And how can it be an experience if you're just up there, my grandfather was a magician and he was so great, and this is the trick he did. Here's, we have the linking rings. It's not interesting. Make it interesting. If you're booking a theater, make it theatrical, right? Yeah. And I was so uncomfortable doing that.
Yeah.
Like, I had my friends and family there, and my brother, I can hear him laughing on the, like up there. And I was like, no, no way, you know, but afterwards they really loved it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's cool how the people you're working with, they see you differently. And I think you have to trust that they want the best for you in a way, because it's so hard to branch out if you're not open to it in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, cheers. Great.
Thank you for sharing all that stuff.
We went
deep.
Yeah.
That was great. We were going to save some for the Patreon, which we need to save a little for the Patreon. So before we kick over there, do you have 1 minute of somebody is watching this, is sitting, has been thinking about that thing, but they're still in the world of having the insert excuse here after their thing. Yeah. What's your, and we've hit this throughout the entire thing, but what's your 30-second or 1-minute version of thoughts to help them eliminate that, the excuse, and go into the, I want to do this, so here's what I need to do to start. What do you say to somebody who's not quite there? They're still coming up with those excuses.
I would say I start my every morning with power posing. Maybe this sounds ridiculous and you guys haven't tried it, but if you have, you know how this works. So I power pose every morning to boost myself up, talk myself up, you know, like I'm, I can't say it now, but I'm doing the Superwoman one, you know, a Wonder Woman. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Wonder Woman one, where I pump myself up with positive energy and I tell myself how great I am. And that's a great way to start your day. And then when you feel like you have this idea, try stopping yourself. Like, just write down what you want, and that's the sentence. And you stop at the but. If you want to have the, what is this called? Comma?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you need that, put it in there, but you're not going to use it later. Just put up what you want, and then try to brainstorm. Like, what would you need to get this thing done? What do you really need? Because people go like, I need the lighting, I need this and this and this, but no, you normally don't. Like, you could shoot everything. If you want to do a YouTube video, if you want to have, like, let's say that's a thing, you want to have your own YouTube channel, they go, oh, I need to buy this and this and this and this. No, you don't, because you have a perfectly good phone, right? And you probably have a friend who has a phone, and use their flashlight. This is a good advice. Use the flashlight of someone else's phone, and you're gonna have your own studio.
Yeah.
Right. And if anyone is listening to this and they feel like, yeah, well, I would love some input on the things that I'm working on, send me an email, hit me up on Instagram, and I will be happy to help, because it's such a small industry and we're not really competing with each other for the same work. Not really, to be honest, because it's a big planet and we're not that many. I would be happy to help and share. And if there's anything I can do, just ask me.
Great. Thank you very much for being open to do that. And somebody who wants to find you, what's our best place to find you?
Instagram, I'd say. It's Raven Magic, but it's without the E. So it's R-A-V-N Magic.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was fun. I hope I didn't swear too much.
Thank you for listening to the Between Dreams podcast. My name is Chris, and I really appreciate you being here. You made it to the end. Or you skip to the end. Either way, thanks again for being here. If you enjoyed this and know somebody who might be able to get some value out of it and see the possibility of what happens when you expect things to just work, please share this with them. You can let them know they can check out the full video of this conversation on YouTube. That's on my page. It's Chris Ruggiero on YouTube. You can watch the full conversations with all my guests. And as always, every guest, we continue the conversation over on patreon.com/betweendreams. The main episode is here free on all the podcast platforms, Spotify, iTunes, podcast app, all that. And then we go deeper. That's only available exclusively to the Patreon family. And when you become part of that family, your contributions help to create the free content, the bonus content. It helps make the entire show possible. So if you enjoy this, head over there, join the family, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for you for being here. And thank you to Caroline for sharing so much amazing stuff. I'm inspired, and I hope you are too. That's it for now. Thank you, and goodbye.